It's good to be able to take the coat off. It's warm up here at the pulpit, and it's a good job. And we trust that when you're warm down there, that you don't go to sleep. Because that's sometimes what happens. And it's easy to watch down, and you can see the eyes closing sometimes in people. But it's always good to be able to take the coat off. I've possibly told you before, but the second mission I had in Kirlish, Orange Hall, there was a fire that they put on at night, and I, of course, put the pulpit in front of it and didn't realise that the water would be running out of my heels and my shoes. And I'd always been told that if you went to the college in those days that you weren't to take off your coat. And I didn't take it off until that one night I couldn't stick it any longer and I took it off. And one of the men said to me going out, he says, "Ronnie, you know, it's a poor horse can't carry his own harness." And that got me going, but from that on I took it off and had no problem. But it's always good to have a place comfortable that people can't relax in. We're turning to that portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 18 that we read together. And let's bow together just in a short word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we thank Thee for the freedom that we have to have Thine own precious word before us, to be able to read it and to preach it. And we thank Thee for those who gave their lives in days gone past so that we would have this particular freedom to be able to use Thy word. And we ask Thee to preserve this freedom even in the land that we're in, even at this time as they would seek to destroy the word of the living God. And Heavenly Father, we ask Thee tonight that You will come and write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Our text tonight is the verse 3. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The Bible description of heaven should leave us with a longing to go there. Heaven is a place. In John 14 and the verse 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." So it's not the figment of somebody's imagination, but it is a place that God has prepared for those for whom Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Heaven is a place where Jesus dwells. In the verse 3 of John 14, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so it's not only a place, but it's a place where Jesus dwells. Heaven is a place where sin shall not enter. In Revelation 21:27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." Heaven is a place of perfection. In Revelation 21 and the verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And you know, that is tremendous, to be able to look forward to a day when there will be no more tears, when there will be no more death, when there will be no more sorrow or crying, no more pain, because all those things will be gone forevermore. A place of perfection. The sin that is destroying this old world will be gone forever. Heaven is a place of rest. In Revelation 14 and 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Thank God, on the day that we leave this scene of time, our labors will be over. It will be a day of rest.
and a place of rest, and their works do follow them. When the disciples of Jesus asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, what pride must have been amongst those disciples? Jesus immediately called a little child unto him and said unto them, "Except ye be converted, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And we see in this text, first of all, the need of conversion to enter heaven. "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." We may have money, we may have health, we may have possessions, we may have a good family, we may be well educated, we may be well respected in the community, we may be above reproach, yet unless we are converted, we shall not enter God's heaven. Members of a church you may be, baptized and confirmed you may be, you may hold office in a church, but unless that you are converted, you shall never enter God's heaven. Jesus calling the little child to him, placing him in their midst of his 12 disciples, and there he tells them, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." And Isaiah 59 and 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." We are sinners by nature, and we're sinners by practice, and we've gone astray from God, and we are separated from God by our sins, and we need to be converted, or we need to be saved to enter heaven. And Matthew 18 and 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost." And we're living in a day and age in which people think that they are going to get to heaven because of what they do and how they live. And what a day that will be when they discover that they cannot get into heaven. The sinner is lost because of sin, original sin and sins in practice. Man is separated from Jesus and cannot go to heaven. Sin, your sin will keep you out of heaven. Sin, your sin will take you to hell forever. Do you realize in the meeting tonight that you're a sinner? There is no escape. There's no one came through that door tonight that wasn't born a sinner. Has God spoken to you in days and nights past about your sin? Or do you think that because of the life that you live, that somehow or other you are going to get to heaven? I was in Pound World. They'd laugh at me because they say that anything over a pound, I wouldn't buy it. And I happened to be in Pound World one day, and this man turned around and he had an arm of stuff, and he spoke to me. And it ended up anyway, we got talking, and he says, "Are you local?" I said, "I'm local. I've been here all my life." And he says, talk to me. And I said, "Where are you from?" He says, "I'm from Fermanagh." And I got to know the part of Fermanagh he was from and talked to him. And he knew people that I knew. And then we got on to religion and salvation. And I said to him, "You know, you need to be saved if you're ever going to get into heaven." He says, "You know," he says, "I do the best I can. The wife had died some time back, maybe last year or the middle of the year before." And he said, "I've done the best I can," he says. "And when it comes for me to die," he says, "I'll be all right." I said, "You'll not be all right." I said, "You know what the Bible teaches you, that if you're not born again, you're going to be lost. He says, as long as I don't go down, I'll be all right. Well, Zai, that's exactly where you're going, as fast as you can, down into a lost sinner's hell. And he had absolutely no idea about God's salvation, or didn't want to know. They discovered afterwards that he would have known, but he didn't want to know. He thought he was good enough. And I said, you know, there's only one door into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't come through that door, you're never going to be in God's heaven, except you be converted. And you know, there are so many out there tonight, and maybe there's someone in the church this evening, and you know, yes, about the gospel, but you have never come and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not converted. And you think that because of who you are and how you've lived, that somehow or other, that God is going to take you in. Well, I can assure you that the Bible teaches us here that you will not get in. You may not be a great sinner, yet sin small or great will bar you from heaven. All have fallen short of the glory of God. You need to be converted if you would ever enter heaven. I want to ask you tonight, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Then you must be born again. If you want to go to hell when you die, don't do anything, and you're sure of getting there. Hell, the lake of fire, is for sinners of all degrees. One sin, original sin, will take you down into the lake of fire. The need of conversion to enter heaven. Do you believe it tonight? I hope and trust that if you're not saved, that you realize that if you're ever going to get into God's heaven, you need conversion. And then we have the nature of conversion. Except ye be converted. Now, salvation is not reformation. Salvation is not turning over a new leaf. Salvation is not becoming a church member. Salvation is not making a commitment to Jesus. Salvation is not anything a man or a woman can do. The Bible teaches us that salvation is of the Lord. There are many people today, and they have told me over the years, but you know, I made my commitment to Jesus. That's not salvation. I can make a commitment to go home tonight, and I might never reach home. You could make a commitment when you go out, I'm going home, and you might never reach home. But my dear friend, the same, you can make a commitment, but you will never get to God's heaven unless you're converted. Salvation is not anything that man or woman can do. First, the sinner's heart is arrested, and he is made to look at Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And you know, as we look at Jesus, we realize that we are a sinner. Look at the holiness of Jesus. Look at the perfect law of God and the Ten Commandments. Look at what God has left us in the Scriptures. And you know, immediately we see with the Holy Spirit opening our hearts, we have conviction of sin. And that is the first step to salvation. When you and I realize that we personally are sinners, that we personally are condemned by God for our sin, that we are under the judgment of God and we're heading down the broad road to the lake of fire. And you know, this is what happened in revival times when the Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of people, that they were sitting along the roadsides after coming out of meetings and crying and weeping unto God because of their sin. Was it the preacher did it? Not at all. It was the Holy Spirit that used the words of the preacher, but he convicted the hearts, and they were brought savingly to the foot of the old rugged cross. Conviction of sin is the first step to salvation. Do you believe tonight, I trust you do, that you were born in sin, that you have lived in sin, and that you need to be converted? Then comes not only the first step, but the second step is conversion from sin. And converted from sin to serve Christ. Not saved in sin, but from sin. The unsaved live in their sin. They do whatever they want to do. They order their life according to what they think. But the saved lives above sin, does not habitually sin. So we have conviction of sin, and we have conversion from sin. Conversion is really repentance. In Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is simply being sorry for and turning from sin. I had a cousin, and drink destroyed him. He died very young on the street in Omo. And I remember one day talking to him, and I said to him, you know, you need to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but Ronnie, I pray to God every day to get rid of the drink. And he was one of the best mechanics that ever had a spanner in his hand. And I said to him, you know, have you ever asked God to forgive your sins and to save you? And he was looking me in the eye, and when I said that, he turned the eye the other way. You see, what he wanted was God to deliver him from the drink problem, but he didn't want to get saved. He didn't want to get rid of his sin. And there's so many people want to go to heaven, but they want to go their own way. They want to live down here, to do whatever they want to do and expect God at the end of the day to suddenly take them into heaven. Converted from sin to serve God. And John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we need in this day and age to get back to the old-fashioned way of telling men and women that they need to be born again, they need to be converted, they need to change. I was coming up this morning and I happened to put the radio on to see what service was on, and then I couldn't distinguish for a wee while whether it was Church of Ireland or whether it was Roman Catholic. And then as time went on, I discovered it was Roman Catholic service. It was actually a Mass. And I'd never been at a Mass, and I didn't know what to do, and I thought, well, I'll keep this on to hear. And you know, it is no wonder that Protestant ministers and Protestant people are led astray, because a lot of what that priest came out of was language which you could hear in this church any Sunday, and mixed in with popery. And what a time that those people that were gathered there in that chapel were told basically that because of their fact that they were Roman Catholic, they were all brothers and sisters in Christ, and they were all going to heaven. And you know, I felt so sorry for Roman Catholic people who are deceived into believing that somehow or other their religion and the Pope and the priests of Rome can forgive their sins and they'll suddenly get into heaven. What a day is going to be when they realize that that cannot happen. But you know, not only the Church of Rome, but the Church of Ireland believe that when you're baptized as a child, you're made an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. But you know, the Bible teaches us that except we be converted, we can never see heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Turning from self to God, turning from sin to righteousness, turning from the flesh to the spirit. If you have not been converted and turned from sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, then you're not saved this evening. You're lost. You're under the judgment of God. And what a tragedy that is. Then there's thirdly, not only the need of conversion, the nature of conversion, but there's the evidence of conversion. And become as little children. The object lesson the Lord used to show the disciples the evidence of conversion in the life of a saved or born-again believer was a little child. A converted man or woman, a born-again man or woman becomes a little child again, spiritually speaking. Sin has been blotted out. Jesus has come into their life, and all things are new, like a newborn babe. Sinful desires take a back place. New desires for God are beginning to spring into life. Now, of course, the old nature is still there. And 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." And you know, when we are saved, we start to live the Christian life. And 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And newborn Christians must start to show signs of new life in Christ Jesus. Now, there are so many over the years that have made professions of salvation, and within a few weeks, they've got nowhere. I remember a man come out of one of our missions years and years ago, and he went back to his work after a fortnight's holidays, and the people laughed at him, and he just gave the whole thing up. It was only a profession he had. He had no salvation. And it is so sad when that happens. And I can meet on the street of Omagh many people that have come out in meetings, put up their hands, went to the front of the service, and got nowhere. And today they're still not saved. I was talking to a man some few years ago, and I knew he was saved, and I said to him, "You're saved." He says, "I am, but not when you believe it." I says, "What do you mean?" And he told me he went to a mission years ago when he was at the grammar school. Some of his friends took him. And he said that night, he says, "Oh, the lightning was scared out of me." And he said, "The appeal was made," he says, "and I had to go out." He says, "I didn't want to go out, and I didn't want to be saved. But," he says, "I was that scared," he says, "that they were going to haul me out." He says, "I went out." And he said, "I prayed a prayer, but," he says, "I didn't want to." And he says, "I only got saved about 5 years before I was talking to him." You see, there are so many make professions, but there is no genuine salvation. And I trust tonight that you have been born again into God's family. Bishop J.C. Ryle, the first Bishop of Liverpool, listed 6 tests for the Christian to prove that they had the new life in Christ Jesus. And I'm just going to quickly go through them. First of all, he said there was no habitual sinning. We were talking about some of these this morning. The desire for sin is gone, although the Christian sins not habitually. The drunkard stops his drinking. The thief stops his stealing. But you know, in this day and age, there are so many Christians, and they go out and take their beer, and they take their wine, and they see nothing wrong with it. Well, I dealt with an alcoholic for quite a number of years before he slid into the river in a drunken state and was killed. And I asked him, I said, "Jim, could you tell me what made you an alcoholic?" He says, "Ronnie, the first drink." I said, "How do you make that out?" He said, "I could go out for years and take my drink, but one weekend I went out." And he says, "You know, I couldn't stop it. And that's where it all started, with the first drink. And you know what's sad? The night before he slid into the river, I talked to him in the hotel he was staying in. And I said, you know, Jim, you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior to get rid of your drink problem. He says, I know that, but I'm going to give it one more try. And he went out that evening and met a friend of his, and the two of them drunk, and went down to this man's house. Came out sometime in the middle of the night and seen the lights of the camp. Must have mistook it for the road, and they ended up in the river. And you could see where he was clawing at the bank to try to get out. You know, there is some sad cases. Drunkard stops his drinking, the thief stops stealing, the liar stops lying, the adulterer stops his adultery. Sabbath breakers breaking the Sabbath day stop their breaking of the Sabbath day. The sodomite gives up their homosexuality. That's what it simply means by no habitual singing. The second one that J.C. Ryle said, he believes in Christ, believes that Jesus has saved his soul. No matter what the devil says to him, he still believes God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The third thing was practicing righteousness. He begins to avoid those things and places that God hates. He learns to do the will of God. And you know, there are so many of God's people, and they do not stay away from the things of the world, and they want to be in both, a foot in both camps, as they would say, and they want to live for the world and be involved in it. The fourth one was loving other Christians. Now, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, let's put it this way. You know that some Christians, you couldn't love them if you reared them. But if they're saved by God's grace, then they're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that we should love the brethren. Our companions change, and we have a friendship and a fellowship with those of like faith, those that are saved by God's grace. And the Christian should always have fellowship and friendship with others of God's children. The fifth one was overcoming the world. Does not follow the fashions or standard of the world, but follows the word of the living God. In other words, if you're saved by God's grace, you read the Bible, and you order your life, as we said this morning, according to the word of God. And the last one he had was keeping oneself pure. His desire was to live a pure, holy life, as free from sin as possible, sexually, morally, and every aspect of daily living. Have you these characteristics tonight? Maybe you had, but you're backslidden. You need to return unto the Lord. You say, how do I get back to the Lord if I'm backslidden? Take Psalm 51 that King David used. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And it is very easy for the backslider to get back to the Lord. And you know, if you're not saved tonight, then except you be converted, you are never going to get into God's heaven. Is there someone in the meeting tonight and you have not accepted God's offer of salvation? It's free to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. You see, Jesus came into this world, he was born sinless. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross of Calvary and he bore the punishment for the sins of his people. He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave on their behalf. And he ascended up into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on their behalf. And if you're saved tonight by God's grace, then he is there in heaven making intercession on your behalf. But if you're not saved tonight, then why not come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation is free. Salvation cannot be purchased. It cannot be worked for. Nobody can give you salvation except the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he said, I am the door. By me. Will you come through that door tonight? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Have you come? If not, I ask you, before you go home tonight, will you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? We can't save you, but if we can be of any help to you, don't leave. Speak to some of the brethren or speak to myself, and we can pray with you and help you. But we can't save you. I have often sat with people who have got saved, and I have always said to them before they were saved, I have said, now, are you doing this because you want to do it? Because if you're doing it because I'm here, or doing it because somebody else wants you to do it, it will never work. But I said, if you want to be saved and you want to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save you now. And many, many were saved down through the years. May you come and trust him tonight. Let's bow in prayer, please.